You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Forward Ever, Leadership in Challenging Times. And the program today is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families. Our guest today is President and CEO of Hays Med, Edward Herman. And Eddie, good to have you on our program today.
Thank you for having me, Gary.
You know, this has been a leadership challenge. You and I were on a call a few weeks ago with Senator Rand, where we were talking about those challenges. And it really led to this program because in many ways, you're CEO of the hospital, but you're also really in charge of healthcare in Northwest and Western Kansas. Can you tell me about your life the last few weeks?
Well, it's definitely been unique, that's for sure. For us being the main tertiary care facility out in Western Kansas, we've really kind of had to pull ranks together, even with the other critical access hospitals in the area, and try and give some guidance so that we're doing things consistent for all of our patients throughout Western Kansas, whether that's care in Colby or down in Larned, any of those areas. We wanted to make sure it was consistent so we had the best outcomes and the best opportunities for any patient who may contract the virus.
What was your biggest challenge? You look at that area, the different sizes of hospitals, the different people, the age group of many people in our communities. What was your biggest challenge?
Well, I think the biggest challenge in the very beginning was just the testing piece. It was taking anywhere from 3 to 5 days to get a result back. At some points, it got as long as 7. So when it was just the state doing the testing results, that was pretty tough because you had to treat everybody as if they were positive until you had a confirmed negative test. And so we were burning up quite a bit of personal protective equipment in the facility, assuming that these people were positive until we got that result. So once we got some testing here locally at Hays Med, as well as with our partners that run our lab, they have a facility in Lenexa, Kansas, and they can run about 13,000 tests a day. And so it got a lot better when we were able to convert over to them from the state.
You know, you can't say this wasn't a surprise because it feels like it came out of nowhere. What is your background, you know, compared to other things where you've run into this, being a part of the healthcare system? How does this compare? You just mentioned testing. That would seem to be pretty hard to get a hold of. And now all of a sudden, I think we're getting a better handle on what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely find out that not having testing here readily available was really difficult. And it showed you that working with your partners to make sure that you could have that fast track, that's where Quest is our partner on the lab side. And they did a really good job of trying to get it up and running in the Kansas City area, so we could at least send over there, and we typically get results back within 24 hours now. So most times less than that. So we can get a result pretty quickly. I think that's the key piece, is the challenge of making sure that you had a system that could transport it to Kansas City and that there weren't delays and it was labeled appropriately to identify which ones were hospital-based versus just community-based. Because we were also doing all of the testing for the county too. The county doesn't really have a setup, the county health department, to do that. So Dr. Harris was pretty instrumental in getting that set up for us here and having a draw station, for lack of a better term, to get those ran and get them taken.
One thing I know people that are listening are sitting out there going, are we out of the woods on this? Is this something now we can go back to our daily lives? We feel like we're pretty protected. Word is that we don't have a COVID patient in Ellis County and very few in Northwest Kansas, but are we out of the woods?
No, we know we're not out of the woods, even though there's even been talk about we'll see fewer cases as the weather gets warmer. we can look at multiple other countries across the world. You know, you look at places like Malaysia and Thailand, and they still have cases, and they're in the middle of their summer, and it's, you know, 98 degrees, high humidity. So it cuts down on the ability for it to transfer. But then once winter comes back around, it's going to start going back up again. I think we're probably looking at 12 to 18 months. And a lot of this is going to be based on, are we able to figure out a vaccine? Do we figure out a better way of treating the virus so that it's got a higher survivability rate in the future? Those are going to be key pieces. But for us, we were fortunate because this is one of the benefits of living in a rural community, is the number of people we have in a square mile out here is around 20 in the Ellis County area. And you look at a place like New York City, it's 28,000 people per square mile. So that shows you the benefit. But in turn, when people start traveling, if they go to these more populous, dense places, there's a high likelihood that they could contract it and bring it back. Because unfortunately, the frustrating thing about this virus is about 30% of the people never have any type of symptom that they would relate to thinking they have COVID. And so 30% of those people are walking around and they're spreading it for a couple of weeks before anyone knows they even have it.
One of the things that you have joined up with KU Med Center, and how is that tied into the, because it seems like you guys have this under control, and that's, you know, to your leadership at the hospital, but also you have the backing of KU Med. How does that work together to help?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a blessing for us for sure, because Johnson and Wyandotte County had some of the first cases in the state. And so we've been fortunate enough that the University of Kansas Hospital had to go through all of these stages of preparedness and policies and how do we manage this weeks ahead of when we ever had to really be prepared for it. So we've been lucky enough that we're probably 2 or 3 weeks ahead of where we would have been in preparedness because of being a part of the system. It also allowed us to be able to stock up on PPE, and, you know, we purchased hundreds of thousands of surgical masks through the system and had access to that. And we were one of the first to start reprocessing N95s when we saw there was going to be a shortage. So we were using ultraviolet light and some of the other technologies. And KU, being who they are and being really renowned for the quality of care, they actually got to sit on a Zoom call and talk to physicians from Italy, physicians from China. What would they do different now if they knew what they knew now back then? And that's why we really were early adopters in stopping elective procedures, because the Italy physicians told them if that would have been the one thing they could change, that's what they'd go back and change, is not to continue to do elective surgeries, even at the surgery centers, because of that 30% that are asymptomatic. If you go in and you have surgery and they don't know you have COVID, not only do you expose the surgical staff, but you then typically would end up having all of those horrible symptoms and tougher recovery post-surgery, even if you're asymptomatic, then you would all of a sudden become symptomatic. So we were really lucky to have them as a partner and help guide us. We talk with them on a daily basis on what's changing, where are we going as a system, what are the things that we need to do to make sure that we keep our staff and our community members safe who come into our facility, because people still need to come to the hospital.
One of the things you mentioned is testing combined with you know, the regular outpatient or other type of needs that people have within the hospital, because that still goes on. I'm assuming testing makes a difference there as well, because now you can test anybody that has an elective surgery, allowing them to come to the hospital and not risk infecting others because of the I don't know category. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. It not only does it make it safer for the patients who are coming in to have a procedure, but it also makes it safer for our staff. We don't utilize personal protective equipment when it's not really necessary, because we've already validated that the person coming in is negative. Having it on site too, we can get a result within about an hour, hour and a half of someone presenting to our facility. We've had that now for a few weeks, and that's been a huge advantage in the fact that even though it doesn't delay us from dealing with an emergent procedure, we're still going to take them straight to the cath lab or straight to the emergency room, but we can get a swab and be running that test so that by the time maybe surgery's done, everybody then knows they either need to continue to wear personal protective equipment or we can quit using it. So it saves us, you know, 24 hours of usage on just about all of our patients. So it's been a tremendous asset for us to have that.
Well, one of the things I know that has come into play, and you've probably seen it in your world as well as mine, is the ability to teleconference. Is telehealth, have you started working into the whole telehealth world through HazeMed and the practitioners at HazeMed?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, luckily for us, you know, HazeMed was one of the first facilities in the state to partner, ironically, way back in the early 2000s with the University of Kansas Hospital to do telehealth back then. And we've utilized it, although not to the extent we utilize it now. We utilized it before. So luckily for us, we were pretty familiar with how the technology worked and how to best use it. But I can tell you, Gary, I mean, we have come light years, and I don't see us ever going back. We probably are 2 years ahead of our schedule that we had for how we were going to accelerate telehealth, to where we've already done probably close to 2,000 televisits.
That you know, to me, it when we're doing what we're doing a televisit here, I guess, for lack of a better term. But did you see that changing going forward, even if the COVID thing goes away with a vaccine or a secret sauce of some sort?
Yeah,
I think that going away.
Well, I don't see telehealth ever going away. I don't necessarily know that I see just like what we're doing. If you're Zoom or WebEx or any of those, I see that becoming much more the norm, as well as people who work remotely. You know, we had a lot of back office functions that people were on campus doing, and realistically, with the technology now, they don't need to be in the building necessarily. We moved probably about 250 people out of our facilities and have them working at home. And really, you have to go, well, if they can work from home, that's an advantage, because now it doesn't really matter necessarily where you live, as long as you have a good broadband connection, then that's a potential employee for us in the future for business office functions or HIM or any of those things they can do electronically.
We're going to take a break in a second, but I want to talk to you about what we're going to see in the month of May. Obviously, the governor has been loosening controls across the state as to what can open and what can take place in the state. What do you see that patients will be seeing over the next few weeks and months as we get into May and into summer?
Well, for us, we've started elective procedures this week, certain types of electives, ones that we can do without intubating a patient are what we're starting with. And so we continue to work through those. We'll gradually get back to full capacity as long as we don't see a rebound of COVID cases statewide. It's like anything. If we see another big spike, then we may have to take a step back for a moment before we move forward. You know, here at the facility, we really try to make it as safe for our associates and as well as the community members. Everyone who comes into this building gets screened for temperature as well as travel and history. And then anyone who's coming in for a procedure is going to get tested for the COVID. So, you know, the one thing I would tell people is it's a little bit more cumbersome. We're still limiting the number of people who can come and visit to make sure that it's a safe environment. I can tell you, I've got a lot more comfort when I come to work every day, because I know all the lengths that we go to ensure that our environment is as COVID free as possible. And there's not many other places you can go in the community that are going to be as safe as the hospital is. So, and that's our goal.
Well, thanks for being here. We wanted to come back and talk about that. When you talk about the challenge of leadership, and we're going through this, and kind of your background on history and how you got to the spot you are, we're going to take a break and come back. Appreciate you being on the program. It's brought to you and presented by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard and well beyond, and those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back to Forward Ever, Leadership in Challenging Times. And our guest is President and CEO of Hayes Med, Edward Herman. Eddie, and we talked earlier, you guys, you've hit, and I, from the outside looking in, set a high bar for standards of taking care of those patients that you have, but also looking out for the community and the region at large for doing that. And as you do that, you also take a look at, well, how do you put this in place? And you mentioned the background of working with the KU Med Center, putting things together with them. But personally, how did you develop your leadership style? Through mentors, books? How did you do that?
Yeah, sure. There's always a lot of mentors along the way. I think for me, my route was definitely a little bit different. You know, I started out as a nurse's aide at the bedside and worked my way up to LPN and then RN and then started administration. So, you know, and I think you learn both ways, good and bad. So you see situations that are managed by people that you think, you know, that probably could have been managed better. And you kind of take that piece and put it in the back of your mind to remember that when you're in that situation. But then there's those leaders that really open up a world to you of a view and a version that you really may not have seen before and weren't afraid to come and try and tell you about things that may be limiting you from getting better. The previous president and CEO that I worked under, Jeff Tarrant, he did a phenomenal job with me. He gave me a lot of responsibility and let me kind of spread my wings and get out there. And then now it's a whole different level working with somebody like Bob Page, who really has concern over an entire state. And I get to bring that system background that I have because I've worked for, you know, USPI and Baylor System as well as Integris. And so I work with them quite a bit on just structure and fit and how, what makes a system good and what were some of the things from my experience that made a system not work so well. And I think that Bob Page has really done a tremendous job on trying to make sure that we do all the right things and minimize those things that make a system feel like it's a negative for your community.
Well, we've had 7-8 weeks of dealing with, I say, the on the ground. You know, it always seemed like, you know, it was somewhere else, and then all of a sudden it made it here. How do you take what we've learned and build a strategy around that for not only month of May's and June's, but the long-term strategy? How are you doing that through Hayes Med?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we look at this, and the one thing that we've found and we see is that our associates are amazingly resilient and resourceful, as well as just the support of the community. I think what it's shown us is no matter what we take on in the future, we know that we can get prepared pretty quickly. We felt like this showed that we already had a really good disaster preparedness plan in place. You always think about things like tornadoes, or if maybe there's some type of major incident, whether it's, you know, pile up on the highway, those type of mass things. Nobody ever really thought of a virus bringing us to this level, but it did, it stressed and tested the processes we have in place. And I can tell you that we have some of the most phenomenal and talented physicians and associates because they have really made this manageable and have really solid plans. And we've really felt very comfortable with our process the whole way, as well as we worked very closely with Jason at Ellis County Health Department. We were, you know, in lockstep this whole entire time to make sure that we did the right thing for the community and to make sure that we were keeping everyone safe. So I think it shows that as a community, when this happens, we really pull together, which is really not that surprising for Western Kansans to do that.
Well, it's a good way to wrap up with the teamwork that we have in Northwest Kansas, especially, and doing that. But I do want to go back to the out of the woods question that I asked you earlier, because I think there's that feeling, boy, you know, we're in a good, safe place here. But I asked you about, you know, are we done with this? And you said 12 to 18 months. What should residents be doing that are out there now to make sure they make it through the next 12 to 18 months? What are the things they can do personally to protect not their family, their friends, and those that are at risk?
Right. I think, you know, be smart. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. All those things that have been preached since the beginning. But also, you know, everybody wants to travel. We're getting ready to go into summer and people are going to want to go places. We've been cooped up for quite some time as it is. So I would say, be smart about the places you choose to go. Also, just making sure you continue to have that social distancing and be cognizant of the fact that while many of you may be young and healthy, it's not really, they're not the people we're worried about. We're worried about them bringing something back to the people who are elderly or have comorbidities or are immunosuppressed. That's the worry. It's not necessarily that they're going to hurt themselves. It's that they're going to hurt others. And so I would ask people to remember, this isn't always about you. This is really about your other community members who are at risk, and to just be smart, be safe, wear a mask when you can. And, you know, it's probably a good time to go visit some places like Yellowstone that are outdoors or the Dakotas. So, you know, I don't think I'd rush off to go to New York City at this moment, for sure.
Eddie, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your leadership at Hayes Med and what you're doing in our community. Our guest has been Eddie Herman, who is president and CEO of Hayes Med. Again, thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
Our program is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families.
Thank you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Be sure to check back next week for another episode with your host, Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never. Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence, long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families.